Hi, everyone. This is Jill Hope, and I'd like to welcome you to iShine's Enlightened Parents, Empowered Kids podcast series. Today's topic is all about how to build a giving mindset and a prosperity consciousness in our children. My special guest today is Amanda Vandergulik. Amanda is a homeschooling mompreneur, the owner of TeachingChildrenAboutMoney.com, a website devoted to helping parents teach their children about money, AllowanceSecrets.com, a website devoted to finally putting parents' minds at rest over the topic of whether or not to give your child an allowance, and co-owner of Get Unstuck for Kids, a website devoted to empowering kids through goal setting and the law of attraction. Amanda is passionate about educating kids and teens about life. She wishes to empower young people to go for their dreams and reach for the stars. She is the author of The Insider's Secrets to Teaching Children About Money, Allowance Secrets, To Give or Not to Give, and the co-author of Get Unstuck for Kids, a fun, interactive guide to empower your children for life. Amanda's enthusiasm for teaching kids and adults about how to create their own positive passive income from their own passions and hobbies is contagious. She says, by teaching your child about money now, you are empowering him with a financial education and independence that he will benefit from for the rest of his life. Welcome to our program, Amanda.
Thank you very much, Jill. Glad to be part of it.
Well, Amanda, can you tell our audience a little bit about your background and how you got started teaching parents about kids and money?
Sure, no worries. I can do that for you. Well, as you mentioned, I am a homeschooling mompreneur. And so the two together sort of already explain that I'm really into my kids and I'm really into creating businesses and doing investing and stuff like that. Now, I had a desire to be financially in control of my own life from a very young age already. And I also have always had this incredible love for children. I can just see how children blossom and grow when a new idea or concept is given to them. So I was trying to find a way that I could best put the two of my loves together and, so I could help people the most. And then, of course, you know that proverbial light bulb, Jill, went on in my head, and I instantly knew what I needed to be doing. And what I needed to be doing was to help other parents, like myself, figure out ways that they could actually teach their children about money and how to empower themselves, so that they'd have a stronger financial start as young adults. And I've had many experienced years in investing in real estate and in building my own businesses. And I've also spent years and years teaching and tutoring children. So, of course, now that I'm homeschooling my own two children, and they're at the moment 7 and 5 years old, I notice that, they're actually starting to get this interest in money and how it works, but they need some help learning how to do that. So that's where I sort of came this, put this together. And I don't know if you've noticed this, Jill, but in schools, financial education is not really being taught so much. So we kind of, as parents, need to be the ones to teach our children about that.
Well, that is so true. Absolutely. Well, Amanda, why should kids learn about money? I mean, isn't that something that really should be left to the adults?
Oh, I know. I know exactly what you mean there. It really seems that, why should we bother teaching our kids about money? Let them just be kids. Let them just play, have fun, and let's just teach to them once they're adults.
Right.
But the problem is that then they end up growing up not knowing anything about money. And I don't know if you've heard this, but the largest group of people filing for bankruptcies in America today are under the age of 29. So that's kind of telling us that we're missing something, a vital, component of their subject material they should be learning. And the cool thing is that kids are really great sponges. I mean, think about how hard it is for us to learn now as adults compared to how easy it was when we were kids, right?
Absolutely.
So if we can instill some financial habits in children already from a young age, it's kind of like potty training, just to give you an idea there. It can be really tedious and sometimes so stressful to finally get them to potty train. I know it's not been too long since I've had to do that.
Me either.
But once they've got that sussed out, they're set for life, until they hit about 90. And, isn't it worth it to teach kids about money in the same kind of way so it becomes a normal habit, so they don't have to think about it anymore, and they won't have any preconceived taboos about money not being talked about, and, you know, end up with some really bad financial choices later on?
Mm.
I figure, you know what, we teach them about sex in school. I think we should start teaching them about money, something that they're really going to need.
Gosh, I could not agree more about that. What a different world we'd have, right?
Oh, I know.
Well, so Amanda, how does teaching children about money differ from teaching adults about money?
Well, for one thing, it's a lot easier. Like I told you before, kids are sponges, right? You know, we really want to learn as adults, but it's so much more difficult. And the thing is that's really on their benefit, their side as kids, is that they don't have a preconceived idea about money. You know, they're open to learning about it. And they're not stressed out about it yet, you know, because of a lack of it like we might be.
Mm-hmm.
And but we need to make it fun. We need to make it empowering. You know, when kids can see that they have the power to create their own money, doing things they like, you know, like maybe helping out a neighbor, doing some gardening, or say your child is really good at piano, maybe she can give some lessons to a friend and earn a bit of money that way. Then they learn that in life it's actually possible to create an income from something you love to do and help other people at the same time. And, you know, so many adults, I don't know, I'm sure, Jill, you're just like me, and you know so many people, if not even yourself, adults going to work doing stuff that they really don't enjoy doing, but they have to do it because they need to pay bills.
Oh, right.
It's really sad, and I've been in that situation. I know what that's like, and that's not something I want for my children. And if we can teach kids already that they can get paid to do something they enjoy. I mean, there's companies out there that will pay them to play games. That's got to be a lot more fun than cleaning toilets, right?
Oh, yes.
And we can create really good financial habits in children much easier than adults because they haven't been set in their ways financially yet. You know, we can train them how to manage their money so it works for them rather than having to constantly work for money. And they won't get this mindset of, ooh, budgeting, yikes, ow. They'll be like, oh, yeah, this is cool.
Oh, that's great. Well, what would you say is the best age to start teaching kids about money?
To be honest with you, Jill, as soon as possible.
Right.
Okay, now, you're not going to teach a baby how to mow lawns to make money, right?
Right.
Okay. We
need
to realize that, you know, yeah, there's different ages that need to be taught different ways. If you want, I'll give you a quick rundown for you.
Oh, sure, that would be great.
All right, well, starting with experience from my own children, you know, from baby through to about 3 years, teaching kids about money at that age obviously is not going to be something they're consciously realizing they're being learned about, but by simply being open about our money and making a point to, you know, show your kid once in a while, like, ooh, honey, look at this, mommy's paying for this, and I get this back, you know, it just starts getting their mind prepared. And, you know, especially at the, you know, ages 3 to 5 is a really cool time, because this is a time when you can say, you know what, my little boy's name is Quinn, I would say, you know, here, Quinn, here's $5, we're going to buy these carrots, you give it to the cashier, and she's going to give you the change back, and you want it in cash so he can really see the difference, just to make them understand that, yeah, you have to actually exchange something to get something in return.
That's a great idea.
And also, my little girl, Xanthi, at this age, my mom was a great grandmother. She she still is. But she gave my daughter this job of folding plastic bags. I don't know, like nowadays the grocery stores don't give you as many plastic bags anymore, but they did when she was that age.
Uh-huh.
And you'd get so many grocery bags, it would take up a huge amount of space in your cupboard. So what my mother did was she hired my little girl to fold these bags into tiny little triangles to save space in her cupboard. And she would pay her 1 penny for every bag she folded. Well, you can imagine how long it would take her to earn a dollar, right?
Right.
Well, the really cool thing was that a little while later, we went to a local fall fair, and she wanted to go on a ride. And she was just starting to notice numbers and letters, so she looked at the sign on the ride, and she said, what's that? And I said, oh, well, that's saying it's 3 tickets, and each ticket is $1, so it costs $3 to ride this. I think it was the Ferris wheel.
Mm.
And she looked at me like, well, what's $3? And so I said, well, you know, those bags that you fold for Grandmummy for 1 penny each, it would be like folding 100 bags 3 times.
Mm.
Well, you can just imagine the look at her face, because even at 5, she knew how to count to 100, and she knew that that took an awful long time, and that to do that 3 times in a row, yeah, I guess I could say the penny dropped, so to speak.
Well, it probably really gave her the idea that, you know, money, the value of money, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
From that. That's great.
Well, and just quickly, just so you get it, I won't go too much into detail of the different ages, but from 5 up onwards, what you really want to do is just find something they're passionate about. Like I mentioned before, if they're into piano, you know, have them tutor other kids and make some money doing that. Or if they're into being outdoors and playing different sports games, they can tutor kids that way. You know, there's so many little ways that they can find through their passion to create income. And I want to nurture that.
You know, that's great. It's I think that's the key, is using their passion to create money. I really like that idea. So what are some strategies, Amanda, that you recommend to get kids really excited about learning about money?
Okay, the first thing is get some clear piggy banks. You know, because we put money into these piggy banks, we can't see through them, and then they're shaking them trying to figure out how much money is in there. And did they lose the visual, so they can't really see anymore what their money's doing. And if you have a clear jar, I mean, it could be as simple as a jam jar, then they can actually see it building up. So that's one really key point, is have them see their money, especially at a young age. I mean, as teenagers, it's a bit different, but as a young age. And, you know, another thing that's really good for getting them excited is to sit down with your kid and talk about some things that they might want to work towards, you know, a goal that maybe they want to get a new scooter, you know, a little child kind of scooter where you actually move your foot, not the motorized type. And make a collage of all the different, you know, colors and types, and maybe a picture of them cut their head out and put it on top of somebody who's actually riding one of these things, or, you know, whatever you can find, to create sort of a vision board, and you put it on the wall somewhere where they're going to see it. And to be honest, the place we go go to most during the day is the toilet. So you may as well put it on the wall in the bathroom. And just to, you know, get them really excited. And then you can create a chart that looks a bit like a thermometer. You find out how much is a scooter going to cost. And maybe it's, I don't know, $16. Okay, that might be a bit low. But anyway, you mark that on this thermometer. And then as they're earning their money, either through allowances or through their own efforts, you can just start filling it in red, filling it all the way up like a thermometer would until you get to that point. So that's really exciting. It's a visual that they can really get excited about. And then once they've done that goal, you put a big X on that bit of the vision board because you've done that, and now you put a big circle around the next one, the next goal, and you start for the new thermometer chart.
Oh, great, great suggestions. So what are some of the common false thoughts or limiting beliefs about money that we may be unknowingly teaching our children?
Yes. Many of us have been taught that money is really hard to come by. You know, it doesn't grow on trees, right?
It's what, right.
I think my parents used to say that all the time. Or, you know, a kid wants to have something. It's like, no, honey, I'm sorry, we can't afford that. Or, I'm sorry, but we don't have enough money. You know, we can change that kind of sentimental belief, you know, that there's a limit to money, with the same idea, but the words are different. You know, okay, you know, that's a cool idea. How do you think we could earn some money to make, you know, to get that? Or, you know what, honey, I choose not to get this right now because it's not part of our family goals. Maybe we can have a look at our goals tonight and see, you know, if we still want the same things or not. You know, so that they see that there's a choice, and it'll begin to create an abundance attitude, you know, the attitude that we're in control of choosing what we want to buy rather than not being able to. And, you know, it's just so funny how simply we can change the atmosphere and our emotions around money simply by using different words.
Well, yeah, such a simple tweak, but that a really empowering way to make a statement about money. I really like that. So how do the parents' mindset really about money affect kids? Is there an effect on kids?
Oh, huge. Kids want to live up to their parents' expectations, and that includes money. I mean, you know, if a parent has a very negative mindset about money, then most likely so will the child. You're not in all cases, but in most cases they will. You know, if your child sees you, you know, changing your money mindset, then they'll start to open up their ideas and change their money mindset too. You know, sometimes we hope that the schools will teach our children things that we're not able to, but it's us who that they're actually trying to mirror. We have to keep that in mind. You know, how often as an adult, Jill, let's be honest here, how often are we, you know, worried or stressed about, oh, what do my parents think about this? You know, it goes with us forever. But now if we think about, oh, you remember Mrs. Smith back in grade 3? Oh, I wonder what she thinks of me right now. We probably don't think about that too often.
No.
So I think you get the point.
Yes. Well, you know, what about a parent? And I know there are parents out there who, you know, they're in debt, especially with this economy. You know, people are getting into debt, or they're living with a scarcity or a lack consciousness. If they have that in their consciousness, or they're maybe not particularly money savvy, can they really successfully teach their kids about money?
Absolutely. And I know that this is a huge concern because people feel like, well, I'm not good with my money, so how could I possibly, you know, help my child? But any parent who truly wants to teach a kid about money is fully able to. You know, money or no money is not an excuse. You know, being honest with our children about our own money faults or our own money lessons, you know, we're not only opening up a connection to discuss money and the lessons that we learn from the money mistakes, but we're also opening up a special bond with our child. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I have, where my parents opened up to me about, you know, personal issues with finance or otherwise, and suddenly I felt much more connected to them. I mean, how often do other friends of mine or yours or the people listening, how often are their parents really, truly that honest with them? Your kid's going to feel pretty special knowing that you trust them enough to be totally honest with them. It's pretty incredible. And, you know, simply being willing to learn together. And parents don't need to be perfect role models. We're so hard on ourselves. You know, the stars go out of the kids' eyes at around, 10 years old anyway. So.
Okay. So we've got some time.
But we need to be learning leaders. You know, we need to lead by example. And we want our kids to learn about money, then we need to learn about money ourselves. So we may as well just do it together, right?
Right. Great, great idea. Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, for the non-money savvy parent, what are some techniques that they can use to teach their children about money and about developing this prosperity consciousness?
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, well, the first thing that I would recommend is that why not start a family book club? Now, it's not going to be like something really, really tedious. No, this is just, you know, everybody in the family starts reading these books together, and then you take one day out every week, and you just maybe have half an hour, sit down, and talk about the books and what you're learning. And these, you want to use books, of course, that are going to be specifically about creating an abundance mentality, learning about money. I can give you a couple of books that I would recommend, ones that have helped me, if you like, Jill.
Oh, that would be great.
All right, the first one I recommend... Hands down, absolutely. And I'm sure a lot of the listeners online tonight will understand this, is Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki.
Oh.
He is an incredibly easy read, so kids aged 9 and up, no worries, they can read that really easy.
Mm.
And it's really entertaining. He writes, as he says, he wasn't a best-selling writer, he's a best best-selling author. In other words, no, he's not writing like these, you know, immaculate literate people, but he knows how to talk, how to tell stories. And so it's a really interesting read, but the mentality that they'll learn is incredible. Mm-hmm. The next book that I recommend is The Richest Man in Babylon. It's by George S. Klassen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a thin book. I'm trying to think how many pages, maybe 150, if that.
Oh, wow, I haven't heard of this one.
I think it only costs about $8 or something.
Oh, wow.
The Richest Man in Babylon by George S. Klassen, and it's written as if it's from about the 16th century or something like that.
Hmm.
But the key point is that it's a story, first of all, so nice, easy read for the kids. They'll learn some old language, which is always a benefit, and they're going to learn things about paying yourself first, donating to charity in a really simplistic way that makes such an impact. It's a really good book. And the next book that I recommend is Wink and Grow Rich by Roger Hamilton. It's sort of a spoof on Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, which I also recommend. But Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill is a difficult read for younger children, so you want your child to be at least 16 before they start reading that one. Wink and Grow Rich, however, by Roger Hamilton is a great story. I mean, my kids, 5 and 7, love it. But as an adult, I love it too. And it's all about abundance mentality and the law of attraction. Mm. And money and the law of attraction work hand in hand. A lot of people don't realize that, but they really do. And a perfect book to explain that is The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace D. Wattles. That is exactly it. He talks about how the rich got rich through using the law of attraction. Mm-hmm. Now, if we wanted to have more of a modern day writer, because most of these, except for Robert Kiyosaki, are from a while ago. Well, Roger Hamilton's fairly recent as well. But Leslie Householder wrote this book called The Jackrabbit Factor. And it's, again, about the law of attraction and about abundance mentality and creating wealth. But through this incredible story, I think it's probably one of the best reads I've ever read, and children will absolutely love it. Teenagers will love it. Adults love it. So that's just a few books. Now, what you want to do is sit down, decide between you how many chapters you're going to read, get together once a week, and then talk about the lessons. You know, make it a project. The second thing I recommend is to play money games together. I mean, I loved playing games as a kid. I know so many families don't take the time to do that now, but it's such a great way to connect. And, you know, just to get the concept of money, Monopoly or Payday, they're great just, you know, to get started. Once you really want to start learning about how money works, then you want to play games like Cash Flow Game from Robert Kiyosaki. And I just lost the name of another one. But, yeah. Those are the kind of games that you're going to want to play just to really get going. And I heard once, Jill, that the best way to learn in life is either to just do it,
mm-hmm.
or the second best way to learn is to play a game pretending that you're doing it.
Really?
So we may as well practice our money skills in a game setting and not actually lose our shirts, so to speak.
It's a lot safer.
Before we go out there. So, yeah, you did that. And the third thing, and this is one of the most important things I think you need to do as a family, is create a vision board. Like I mentioned before, you know, with mm-hmm. the goal for the child with the scooter. Well, now do it for the whole family. What is your family vision board? Maybe you want to go on a trip to Disneyland. Maybe you want to go to Europe. Maybe you want to buy a new car for the family. Cut these things out. Put it on a board. And, Jill, I don't know if you've heard of these, but there's mind movies. You put your vision board together. But then it's a movie. It's about the length of one song.
Mm.
And the pictures are coming towards you. The words are positive present tense, like, you know, I'm so happy now that we are driving in our new car, instead of I hope we'll be driving in our new car. So it tricks the subconscious mind to believe that things are already happening. And the website, if people want to check that out, is createyourownmindmovie.com. Really great software. I have it on my computer. They had this really cool software they came out with about a year ago. It plays my mind movie transparently on top of whatever else I'm doing all day long.
Oh,
and
wow.
I can set how thick or how thin I want it. So I barely see it, but my subconscious mind is seeing it all day long, all these positive images. So, yeah, I highly recommend that for kids and families to do. You know, when you wake up, watch it. Before you go to bed at night, watch it. And, no, it's really cool. It's createyourownmindmovie.com. It's an Aussie company. Really cool.
Excellent. Well, you know, some of our audience members, and I am one of these people with this question as well, we've got a conflict going on between our desire to teach our children about abundance and prosperity and how that translates into allowing our children to purchase everything they desire. Because for me, when my son wants to buy something, you know, I don't want to be planting limiting ideas in his mind by saying things like, well, you know, why can't you be happy with all the other toys you've got? And why do you always want more? But on the other hand, you know, sometimes enough is enough. And he even seems to start getting a little greedy when he does get too much, or he'll start feeling unhappy unless he can continue getting new things.
Mm,
so.
Yeah.
You know, what are some of the best ways to cultivate this sense of happiness and contentment with what one has while continuing to teach an abundance consciousness?
Yeah, throw on the difficult ones.
No. Yeah,
no. No, but you're so right. Hold on one second. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just getting over a bit of a cold. Okay, now back to your question. You know, I understand your concern completely, because you want to, you know, have him feel like things flow abundantly to me, but not along the lines of, right, I'm going to just get everything I need.
Right.
Everything I want. As long as the items are within your family's moral beliefs, you know, you are in control, you know, you are the parent, and your child is earning their own money to pay for these things, and still putting enough aside for giving to charity, saving for their education, paying themselves first, which has to do with investments, I'll get into that a little later, then make a deal with them. Tell them, you know what, with the money that you've got left over, if you want to buy something and it's within what our family believes in, then go ahead. And, you know, tell them that if they're willing to manage their money into different bank accounts, you know, you'll show them how to do this, and mm-hmm. I'll help you. And, you know, tell them, oh, I'm so sorry. I've got this little tickle in my throat now. you know, that they're allowed to have some fun with their money because we do want them to have some immediate gratification to sort of balance out the weighting of savings as well. So here, what I'll do, Jill, is I'll just go through the different piggy banks that I recommend.
Oh, great.
And then show you how that can help your child to overcome this, you know, sense of greed and I want, I want, I want. All right, what I recommend are a minimum of 3 piggy banks, but I actually highly recommend, especially for older children, 6. And I'll go through all 6 of them for you quickly.
Okay.
The first bank and the most important one that they need to pay themselves first is called the Grow Piggy Bank. This is to be used for investing, to make their money actually grow, right? That's where I came up with that word.
Okay.
Now, they can do this through either saving for in the future for real estate or for maybe investing in some stocks or options, stock options. But they need to have a bit of education there first. But more importantly, it's money they can use right now to create their own business. Let's go back to that lawn mowing. That baby, right? You have a lawn mowing. Now let's say the baby's 15 and wants to start their own lawn mowing company, but they need to get themselves a lawn mower in order to do so. Well, the money they've put into their Grow account, they can now use to buy the mower to create a business. You know, that kind of paying yourself first. The second bank is for giving, and it's exactly what I call it, the Give Bank. Now, for the first bank that I just mentioned, as well as this Give Bank, you want them to put aside 10% of their earnings into these banks. You know, just a little bit, but it will add up over time. With the Give Bank, it's not just, you know, give it to charity. No, no, no. You have to give it to something they're actually truly interested in. So what's an example here, Jill? Let's say your daughter is really into flowers.
Mm-hmm.
What if she were to give, you know, to the local hospital at Christmas time, bouquets of flowers to people? Wouldn't that be just a wonderful thing? It would give her such a sense of self-worth.
Oh, that's a wonderful.
It would just make people so happy.
Absolutely.
The third piggy bank would be the Rain Bank. And again, 10% into this. And do you know what this one's for, Jill?
Rainy day?
Rainy day. It's the one they never, 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 never touch. You just always put it in, never, never touch, because someday something unexpected is going to happen. The world's going to turn upside down for them, and they will have this one to fall back on. Now, don't you wish we were taught to have this piggy bank as a kid?
Oh, yes, I do.
Now, the next bank is the Learn Bank, and that's exactly what it's for. It's for learning. It's for continued learning, not necessarily for the college fund, because, you know, that's completely up to you as a parent. Whether or not you're going to pay for that or they're going to pay for that, there's no right or wrong there. That's not specifically what it's intended for, but it can be used that way. It's more for when we're adults and we want to continue learning. And, you know, we're like, oh, I really want to follow that course or try this new thing. And then it's always like, oh, I don't have the money for it. Well, what if you've been setting aside money especially for learning all this time? Just a little bit, just 10% here and there, and you'd have it available. How cool would that be? We want to continue our kids' enthusiasm for learning, right?
Oh, I love that.
And the last two that are to do with goals and fun. And they can be split. You've got 60% left. You want at least 10% to go in one of them and, you know, up to 50% in the other. It can be 30%, 80%, it doesn't matter. Somewhere between 10 to 50%. The one is the goal bank, and that's for a particular goal. So for that scooter we were talking about earlier, you know, they're putting as much aside as possible for that scooter because they want it. And the more that they put aside, the more they want it, right? If they're only putting a little bit aside, you know, okay, this goal's not really that important to you. Let's see if we can find something else there.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to at least take 10% for fun. And this is, you know, what you're talking about where they want to just buy things. We've got to let them feel, I've earned this money, I'm allowed to buy something. You've got to have a bit of that too. So there you go. In a little summed up nutshell, piggy banks to help you get them a little bit out of that Scrooge mode and into the, okay, let's live life and give and receive and all of that.
Oh, yeah, great. You know, I really like the idea of these different banks. So what tips can you offer to get our kids hooked on saving their money in these various banks rather than always wanting to spend it?
Oh, I know.
You know, always dipping into the fun bank.
Yes, how do we make them want to save?
Right.
Okay, well, if you follow those banks, this is what I just listed there, your child is actually going to naturally start to slowly get hooked on the savings because, you know, when they're teenagers, as young children, they're just going to see it in the piggy bank, and they're going to see it fill up, and that's going to be exciting. Mm-hmm. But as teenagers, we can put those into different bank accounts that also accumulate interest rate, and they're going to see their money not only grow because they're adding to it, but the bank is adding to it. Now, you know, the bank doesn't get a lot, but still, it's doing more than their piggy bank at home would, right?
Right.
And, I just thought of this, but a really great way to bring across the magic of saving, and particularly the magic of compound interest, is to ask them this question, Justin, and see what answer they give you. You say, all right, so tell me, would you rather have a $100 bill today, or would you like a penny today that doubles tomorrow, so 2 pennies tomorrow, and then doubles the next day, so 4 pennies the next day, and it does this for a month, right? Mm-hmm. And they're going to be like, well, yeah, I want that 100 back. You sit down with them and you do the math. Now, when they add it up, they'll see that after the first week, they've only earned 64 cents if they do the penny doubling thing.
Uh-huh.
So that $100 is looking a lot more interesting to them than 64 cents, right?
Right.
And now by the end of the second week, suddenly that 64 cents during those days of doubled, is now $81.92.
Hmm.
And, that's getting close to the $100. But they're thinking, you know, I had to wait 2 weeks for that.
Right.
But by the end of the 30 days, by the end of that month, if that kept on doubling every day, they'd have over $5,360-something.
Really?
And if there was a month that had 31 days, well, 5 times 2 is 10. So I wouldn't actually offer that to your child unless you can afford it. But it just shows them what, you know, the power of, oh, if I wait and it increases, it's worth so much more than just $100 today.
That's an incredible way to represent that to them.
Me.
I love that.
Well, the first time I ever saw that, I was like, oh, my goodness. I'm doing that.
that's incredible. But you're right. You have to be careful with that because my son would then expect the penny a day and the doubling, and that would be.
You say, now, honey, this is just an idea here. This is not what we're doing.
Right.
But I want to show you how this works.
Yeah. Well, so speaking of saving for charity, why is it important to teach kids to give back at a young age?
Well, quite simply, it's easier to teach that dog a new trick when they're young, right?
Yeah.
We receive what we send out. It really is that simple, and it's such an accurate law, the law of attraction. Whatever we send out, we receive back. If we're hoarders by nature, if we, you know, never want to part with our money, then we're so rarely ever will we receive money. But if we give freely, you know, not being silly, but freely, then we're also open to receiving freely. And kids don't know the difference. So if they start to give really young, then they will only see the good that comes out of giving, and they'll never have that feeling of, you know, the Scrooge, you know, feeling like, ooh, I'm letting go of my money. They'll just think how powerful, just think about it, how powerful would the world be today if we'd all been taught at a young age to just automatically give just a small amount all the time, regularly. What would the world be like around us? Everybody did that. But it's really hard to start teaching adults that, right?
It is hard. You know, especially now, people want to, you know, stop spending and keep the money. And
I know. With the economy,
it is important to remember.
But if you let go, it will come back. Now, that's not being silly. Don't just throw everything away. This is a percentage of what you have coming in, not out of your savings.
Right.
Got to be out of your regular stuff. Yeah, and it's fun to do it together with your kids, because if you've never started, why not come up with something together?
Well, that's true. That is true. So how do you get kids really excited about donating their own money to a worthy cause. Now, don't most kids want to, as we've been talking about, you know, kind of hanging on to what they've got? They've got, you know, a lot of kids don't have a lot of money yet.
Yeah.
So what they have, you know, they want to buy things for themselves. And, you know, how do we really get them excited about taking their own money that they've earned and giving it away to a worthy cause?
Exactly. Well, I guess the key there is that they're only going to want to hang on to their money if that's what they see us doing, right? Because they don't know the difference unless that's what we show them. If they see us receiving, you know, a great amount of happiness and satisfaction from helping others, then that's they're going to want to feel too. You know, we are their role models. If your child has never donated their money, then don't just make them do it. You know, ask them to join you. Say, you know, what kind of things do you think, how could we help this world? What kind of things interest you? And make them part of the decision. And maybe ask them to contribute as well. Say, you know, I'm going to, you know, maybe there's a hospital in town that needs some extra funding or it might close down. I'm saying this because actually that is the case here in our town.
Oh, really?
And you speak to this about your you know, to your children about this. And you get them involved in it, and then suddenly you say, right, if you help Mommy do this, and then maybe you want to contribute a little bit of yourself as well, and make a special point of keeping track of what the charity actually does with the money, so that they can see how their input has actually changed, you know, the world, and make them feel so happy, so proud, and, you know, that's the kind of feelings we want our kids to feel.
Oh, absolutely. And I can see, you know, partnering with your child and having it be something that you do together could really inspire them to want to give. That's a great suggestion. Now, what about the really young kids, you know, that may not even have any money? You know, what are some ways that they can give back to others?
Well, that's the thing as well, is that we're talking now about charity and money, but charity is just helping in general. You know, there are other ways to help, and especially with young kids. You could go to the neighbors. Maybe you've got an elderly couple who find it really hard to bend down, but they need their garden weeded. You could just go over one day and say, you know what, I want to teach my daughter about gardening. Do you mind if we just work in your soil there? And because the beauty of charity, of course, is if you can help people without them realizing that you're helping them, right, that's the magic key.
Oh, yeah.
And so by teaching your kids just to give of their time and their energy is just as important, if not more so, than the actual money as well. And it'll make it easier for them to part with money later because they've already got the feelings. So, yeah, you start at a young age with something simple like that.
Great. So we've talked about a lot of different ideas here. Amanda, what would you say is the first thing you would recommend teaching children about money if you were just starting out with this?
If you're just starting out, goal setting. Absolutely. You know, find out what your child would like to achieve with money. Without a specific goal, the lessons will simply go on blocked ears. That's why I so highly recommend using vision boards and the Mind Movie software for keeping your kids motivated to continue to work towards their goals. If they don't have a goal, they don't really care if they're earning money or not.
That is true. Well, you know, a lot of the work that I do, Amanda, is around helping kids improve their self-esteem, their self-confidence. How does teaching kids about money help them to actually increase their self-confidence?
You know, it's like a lot of things. It's knowledge. When we truly know a subject, we automatically start to generate confidence in ourselves. And when your kids are confident in their knowledge of money and how it can work for them, you know, then they'll not be dependent on a partner to provide for them. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful to watch your children grow up, get married, start their own families, knowing that they are doing so out of true love, companionship, rather than because they need to be taken care of, you know, and it'll cause them so much less stress. And the number one reason that people get divorced today is because of money stress. You know, it's not infidelity. No, it's money. Money is the number one reason. It's incredible. And by teaching our children about money, they'll be so much more confident in themselves, in their personal relationships, and in their business relationships. So, it's again, it just comes back to the knowledge. By having an understanding, you build confidence.
Okay, great. Well, can you tell us some tricks and some techniques used by other experts to teach their children or their kids about money?
Oh, sure. I'm actually really thrilled that you asked that, because that's what I've been working on recently, is I'm launching this new book that is exactly that. It's a compilation of all these different money experts. And one of the biggest questions that I get from parents is whether or not they should give their kids an allowance, right? When you start talking about money, they're like, oh, should I give my kids an allowance? So what I did was I thought, okay, I always had my own opinion, which was always like, no. Help them find ways to make money. But after meeting other experts in my field, I decided, you know what? There are other opinions, and not every opinion works for everybody. But if we put them all together and we give parents the option of different opinions, they could find the expert that feels the best for them and then go with what works for them individually. So, you know, I have learned some new ideas and new techniques. And one in particular, what I can tell you about right now, if you like, Jill,
sure,
is especially when it comes to allowances, because I was so adamant about, no, 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 you know, you have to do something else. And then this one lady, Elizabeth Donati, she said to me, no, but what about running money through your kids? And I said, what? And she said, what you do is the things that you're going to pay for as a parent, you know, not extra things, but the things that you would normally pay for. Like, for example, I pay my daughter ballet lessons, and my son takes bowling lessons and things like this. You give the money that you need to pay for those lessons, or maybe it's for clothing, for school, or whatever it is, and you give that money to your child and then have them pay the teacher or pay the store for the clothes or whatever it is, so that the money is going through your children. It's not their money, but they have the responsibility now to pass it on, and they're going to start seeing, ooh, these things cost money. Oh, this clothes cost money. This, you know, these lessons, my parents are paying a lot for that. So it just gives them a bit more of a feeling. And so I thought, that's a really cool technique. So I've started to implement that a bit. And, there's not enough time in this interview to discuss the techniques I've learned from all the other ones, but the book that I'm bringing out, Allowance Secrets, it's going to be a free book to give away, so your listeners can just get that for free, and then there's so many other techniques in there that they can have a look at.
Oh, fantastic. I can't wait to get that. That sounds really useful.
I can't wait to launch it.
So you mentioned a little bit about allowances then. Do you believe kids should be given an allowance?
No. So I still, even though I've gone through all the different experts, and I had such a reply, it was amazing, everybody who wanted to jump on board with the project. And I went through the things, and I love what they say. And even though, you know, having gone through that, I still find that for my own experience, my own children, I will not be giving them an allowance, because I want to spend the time teaching them about how to create their own money. And I know it's not easy, but I really feel that it is incredibly beneficial to your child if you can take the time to help them come up with ways to create their own money. You know, there is just so much more of a feeling of self-worth, true appreciation, and when they're able to buy things that they actually earned themselves rather than if it was just given to them. However, you know, if giving your child as an allowance is the best way that it's going to work for you, don't feel badly about that, because you know what? There are no right or wrong answers in life. That's the beauty. I mean, in school we're taught it's right or it's wrong, but it's not. There are so many things. The main thing is that what you teach them to do with that money, if you're going to give it to them, you know, so that they can go and, spend it all, or, you know, please just consider this. Okay, I'm getting all my words mixed up here. I'm so passionate about it. But if you plan on giving them an allowance as a way to teach your kids about money, then take the effort to teach them how to manage it. You know, go through that book and find the information from the different experts who do give an allowance and what they recommend. That's why I put the book together, so that parents would feel confident knowing that whatever decision they make is right for them. And the one thing that I did find was very consistent with all of the experts, whether they were for an allowance or against an allowance, was please do not link the allowances to chores or grades at all. You know, chores are a family item. They're meant to prepare your child for the real world. No one's going to pay them to make their bed when they're out on their own, especially not their partner. And grades should be achieved because they really want to learn, not because they'll make money from them.
Mm.
In the real world, no boss that your child will ever have will care what exact grades they had in school, but they will care that your child is truly interested in the work and the quality of their work. So keep those separate. Find different incentives, but keep money separate from grades and from chores.
Hmm. Now, when you say chores, do you mean, would that include washing the dishes or, you know, emptying the dishwasher?
Yeah, the basic household chores, and each family will have to make their own rules of what that is. If, you know, if a fence needs to be painted and you would normally pay someone for that and your child says, well, I'll do it, then absolutely. You know, you can create jobs for your child.
Right.
But the regular daily routine stuff, you know, I personally feel, and these experts as well also felt that that should not be related to an allowance. But you can definitely create special jobs that you can pay them for.
Interesting.
So it's a fine line, and it's a family thing. You have to figure it out within your own family. Again, there's no right or wrong.
No right or wrong, right. Well, I think I've got some things to think about related to how my son is currently earning money.
Again, don't be hard on yourself. We are so hard on ourselves as parents, but you know what? We are doing the right thing with what we know right now.
That is so true. That is so true.
So.
Well, Amanda, so of all the things that we've talked about here, what are your top recommendations for parents about handling the topic of money with their kids?
Okay, all right. Well, I've got three top recommendations then. The first is be honest about your own finances with your children and your teens. You know, the older they are, the more detail you can go into. You don't need to tell your five-year-old whether you've, you know, not paid your Visa this month. But, you know, you want to open up to your children. And the second thing is, you know, let your kids be a part of the financial decisions in the family. You know, use this as the time to train them before they get out into the real world. If you're going to go on a family trip, maybe set up a budget and together work out, you know, how much is going to be for the stay, how much is going to be for the activities, things like that. Make them a part of it. And the third thing is do your best to remain positive about money, even if things go sour financially, because they will.
Mm-hmm.
But they always come back again, okay? And, you know, use each experience to teach your children what to do and what not to do. So just keep a positive mindset.
Great, great. So do you have a number one, you know, top secret way to develop a prosperity mindset in children?
Top one secret for prosperity mindset, I would definitely be going with positive thinking, and particularly using the present tense, especially for goal setting. So saying things like, how can we afford to stimulate financial creativity? So like if they say, I want this, like, okay, well, how can we afford, right? It's a positive affirmation of get your mind thinking. How can we come up with this? And another way is something like, you know, I'm so happy and grateful now that we can actually do, you know, or now that we are driving this new car, or now that we, you know, keep them thinking abundantly. Again, my highest recommendation for getting your mind subliminally in the right prosperity mindset is to use vision boards. And the Mind Movie software, it really, really works. It really works. I am such a living case for that.
Well, I've got to go out and get mine because that sounds a lot of fun.
Create your own mindmovie.com. It's really easy.
Great.
And it's not mine.
Well, so what sort of questions should our listeners be asking themselves now to help them handle the topic of money with their kids as they're listening
okay.
to us tonight?
All right. Questions that they could be asking themselves. Am I speaking honestly with my children? You know, that's a good question to constantly remind yourself. Like, when you, I know so often you'd be saying to your children, blah, 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 and you're like, oops, am I really being honest here?
Yeah.
And am I being the best role model that I can be for my child, you know, when it comes to giving to charity or, you know, whatever it is? Am I being the best role model? Am I staying positive? And especially, am I using a present tense, not like, I wish we had, no, I'm glad we have kind of thing, especially when I'm discussing money. And here's one. do I truly realize that I am actually doing the best for my child right now?
Mm.
Right? We have to stop beating ourselves up. Remind yourself constantly that you are doing the best. Don't doubt yourself. You want the best for your child over anyone else in this world. You got it?
You know, those four questions, I love those because you can translate those into any topic.
Yeah.
Related to parenting and dealing with your children. Those are just great things to keep in mind as we go through this spiritual path that I call parenting.
Mm. Isn't it the best learning opportunity ever?
Oh, is it ever. I can't tell you what I've learned in the last 7 years of parenting my son that, you know, all the other years, never these things never presented themselves. So, yeah.
And just think how many more wonderful years you have.
Oh, I can't wait until we get to the teenage years.
Or past.
Yes. Well, Amanda, as we wrap things up here, where can our listeners find out more about you?
Oh, okay. Well, they can go to allowancesecrets.com, and that's where they can actually get that free book, too. And I'm also found on Twitter. If they just go to twitter.com/Amanda_VDGulick. It's just short for Van Der Gulick.
Okay.
Twitter will have a link.
Okay, great.
So they can find me there. Yeah, allowancesecrets.com or at Twitter, Amanda_VDGulick, G-U-L-I-K.
Excellent. Well, you know, can you share us a little bit more about some of your products? Because I'm guessing right about now our listeners are pretty interesting about, you know, a lot of what you're saying and what you have to offer.
I'm honored to. Thank you, Jill. Right. Well, like I said before, the Allowance Secrets that I'm just launching this coming week, it's Allowance Secrets to Give or Not to Give, with over 24 expert opinions from kids and money experts, from life coaches, and from successful entrepreneurs on whether or not you should give your child an allowance. And the tips that they threw in there is just unreal. It's over 200 pages, Jill.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's amazing. And it's free.
Oh, that's amazing.
Which is why it's an e-book. If it was printed, I'd have to pay at least for, you know, the printing.
Right.
But the e-book version is free, and they can get that at allowancesecrets.com.
Okay.
Another book that I've created is called The Insider Secrets to Teaching Children About Money. I think you mentioned that at the very beginning. And what it is, it's a parent's extensive guide on how to teach your children about money. In that book, I go through all the things that we've discussed here today and so much more. I also have a huge list of tools and tricks and resources in the book that can really make so much easier for parents to teach their kids about money. Now, if my website for that is teachingchildrenaboutmoney.com, but if your listeners here go to allowancesecrets.com, once they get their free book, they're actually going to be presented with a one-time offer, and it literally is only one time because we've got special software for that, to get the Insider Secrets to Teaching Children About Money at a crazy, crazy reduced price that I probably pulled down after a couple of weeks. But, yeah, if they're still in time, go to allowancesecrets.com, get your free book. You'll be presented with a one-time offer. Make sure you read that, because once it's gone, you'll never see it again. And from the 24 contributors to the allowance book, I have a huge pile of them who've offered some amazing bonuses in there, too. So it's really cool. Another thing that I'm working on, Jill, which might be quite interesting for your readers as well, is I've got a new book coming out called The Cleverville Challenge, which is a fictional financial novel for tweens.
Hmm.
There's five of these tweens, ages, there's three of them who are 12, and two of them who are 10, and they're given this mission to create, to take this money that they're given and create more out of it. And they go through all the different lessons on money and charity and giving, law of attraction. It is all in there, and it's fun, and the kids are just loving reading it. So that'll be coming out soon. Called the Cleverville Challenge.
The Cleverville Challenge.
The Cleverville Challenge. And if they go to the allowance site and get the allowance book, they'll get on my mailing list, and I'll just let them know when that's available.
Okay.
I might even have a few freebies out there because I'll be needing testimonials, so if they're early,
right.
They could do that. And, and of course, you mentioned my in November, my good friend John Seeley. He's a best-selling author of the book Get Unstuck. We've co-written the Get Unstuck for Kids, and that one is purely on empowering your kids through specifically the law of attraction. It's a workbook, and it's interactive. It's just, the kids are going to love it. Each chapter comes with a story that demonstrates the learning in that chapter. And there's activities. So, yeah, that's a really big one. That'll be not until November.
Okay.
And then that will be at getunstuckforkids.com. So, yes, I've given you a couple there. Sorry.
Wow, you have a lot going on.
I do like to keep busy.
Well, and I can say that I was lucky enough to get an advanced read of that Get Unstuck for Kids, and that was a fantastic book. I mean, it gave me so many great ideas to use with my son, and the stories that we've read from that book, he absolutely loves. It's really a great way to teach kids, is getting them to relate to, you know, other kids that they may see as being, like, similar to.
Yeah, so, exactly. I wanted them to relate.
Yes.
Cool, yes, I'm glad.
Well, Amanda, as we close here, do you have any final advice to our listeners to create a prosperity consciousness in children?
All right, final advice. Yeah, get that free allowance book. because seriously, after you figure out what their goal is, right, because we have to sit them down and create that vision board, create their mind movie, get their goals going, then you need to figure out how are they going to start making the money. So by getting the allowance secrets book, they can figure out if that's going to be the way to go for them, give an allowance, not give allowance, and then to start helping your children come up with ways that they can create their own money. Even if you're going to give an allowance, you still want to encourage them. Don't give them too much. You still want to encourage them to create their own way, because there is such a feeling of self-worth and self-confidence when they create their own, their own money. And, so that's pretty much my advice to them is sit down, figure out their goals, create the vision board, then figure out if you're going to give an allowance or not, and then help them come up with ideas to make their own money.
Amanda, I want to thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today. And remember, if you want to find out more about Amanda, you can go to allowancesecrets.com, or you can also find her on Twitter. My name is Jill Hope, and you can find me at www.ishinekids.com. Thanks so much, Amanda.
Oh, thank you so much, Jill. I hope I've been able to inspire some parents tonight.
Well, you've absolutely inspired me. Thanks so much. And thanks to my listeners. Good night.